Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 139 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap some nerd news. Starting in entertainment talk, we're going to give all of our thoughts on the Snyder Cut. Then we'll move over into some Oscar nominations and video game news. Then we'll head over into tech and discuss the Tesla full self-driving beta, Tesla getting banned in China, an update to that Twitter hacker, and some robot and space news. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and we are here with episode 139, and yeah, more importantly, we're, I guess, going to call this our two-year anniversary show.
Yeah. Normally, I would just be wrapping up some C2E2 stuff from February. We'd be doing a lot of editing and posting interviews. That got killed. That will be moved till December of this year, so we got a little while. But yeah, 2 years ago, C2E2 kind of kicked off our podcasting ambitions, and we've just been riding it out ever since for you guys.
For anybody who's new, essentially the podcast started. Steve was doing the website for a while. Podcast started because, man, he just got a bunch of interview requests going into C2E2 in March of 2019, and we just said, well, what are we going to do with all these interviews? Might as well start a podcast. And that's the start.
Yeah, it's now been 2 years in, and isn't this where they tell you you're supposed to get famous? Like, is this our fame year?
Yeah, no, I think so. I think we're on the cusp of fame here.
I think that's the prerequisite. They say put in 2 to 3 years of content, step three, profit. I think that's how it goes.
Yeah, we'll have to start selling our own NFT art. I'll take the good day nerds. Maybe we'll just make that into an NFT.
Don't give me.
See if we can make millions.
Bro, don't even unpack that out of my head because I've already got ideas. I've already got them. Like, don't even start unpacking that in the beginning of the show.
Nobody wants our NFTs.
right now.
Right now. All right. Well, now that we're done loving on ourselves here for a minute, let's do what we're doing for 2 years here. Let's do some news. And yeah, first up, man, Snyder Cut. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk Snyder
it's
Cut.
It's only been a couple years in the making. Anybody who wants to read Steve's opinions, his reviews up, you can find it over at the Facebook group or go to thenerdcantina.com and you'll find Steve's review on Snyder Cut. But yeah, let's do a couple minute discussion here because I actually watched the movie.
Yeah, that's surprising.
And not only did I watch the movie, I paid for it.
Whoa, so, fuck.
I restarted my HBO Max subscription. They're going to get one more month out of me right now. So that way I could watch this movie. And
there's some other good shit on there, man. I'm telling you.
I know. I'll watch some of it while I have access to it. But it's the movie, you know, my initial thoughts was, okay, like, it's good. Like, honestly, it's entertaining to watch. And it is... It is better than the initial one, but
that bar was set so low.
Incredibly low. And to even compare the two, in my opinion, is unfair to Joss Whedon.
Very.
Joss Whedon didn't do a good job.
No.
But you tell Snyder to cut this down to 2.5 hours.
It's a trash
and
movie.
And it also sucks.
It's a trash fucking movie.
You know what I mean? Like... Yeah, anybody can go shave 15 minutes out of this movie because there's a lot of wasted time. There's a lot of just unnecessary stuff. But
to cut that down
to a theatrical side, this movie also sucks.
Even if you give them 3 hours, say you give them a 3-hour movie and you only cut an hour out of it, trash. What do you cut? Yeah, what hour do you cut out of this movie where it makes fucking sense?
So to me, I think it's completely unfair to compare the two without putting the same constraints on Zack Snyder.
Well, and also, hindsight's also always fucking 20/20. And Snyder said he never watched the original Justice League. Because, I mean, I could understand that. It was his baby. He stopped making it because of his child's suicide. Like, I could see him not wanting to revisit it. If he never watched the movie, he for sure read all the fucking tweets.
Yeah.
There's no way he puts in all this shit without reading all of the hateful tweets of why the first Justice League movie sucked. You don't get a Martian Manhunter without the tweets. You don't get Darkseid without the fucking tweets. I'm sorry, they weren't. You can't tell me that everything in that movie was on the cutting room floor. Most of that shit was in the $70 million reshoots. Anything CGI, So like anything with the actors wasn't really filmed afterwards. Like they did do some filming, but not much, you know. But you don't have a Jared Leto as Joker yet. So how the fuck is he in that movie? You know what I mean? You don't have a Willem Dafoe as an Atlantean yet. So how the fuck is he in this movie? You know, Amber Heard's big fucking shit. Like Aquaman came after Justice League. For all that Atlantean shit, it would make no sense to you when you watch that, when you watch the Snyder Cut.
Right. He definitely played into things that are exist, which is, was always one of the problems with the DCEU, is they threw together their mashup movie before building into it, compared to like MCU, which takes the time to build their individual character origin story movies or whatever else to build to the big team up. And Justice League went backwards, which means you don't have time to tell the Cyborg story. You don't have, like, this movie does a much better job. Like, you know, if you're Ray Fisher, maybe I understand a little more why he's super incredibly upset with Joss Whedon, right? Because his version, the Joss Whedon version of Justice League, makes Cyborg just a weird little side piece add-on to the team, but not in any way an important character. And then this movie clearly makes him the important character towards, like, giving it some level of like heart to the movie. And you know, he doesn't get that in Joss Whedon's story. There's, but you don't have time for that. Again, that's all stuff that Snyder still cuts out of this movie. If you make it into a theatrical release.
For sure. None of it makes it. Like, and I'm wondering like why he cut out some other things. Like, so in the original Justice League, you see like an older Flash come back in Batman's vision and say Lois is the key. Like you physically see the premonition. In this one, he cut that out.
He just refers back to a Batman versus Superman movie from a decade ago.
like you know, I don't understand some of the choices. I won't give him credit for a lot of the other choices, because it's really easy to just fix somebody else's bullshit and act like the other bullshit never existed and it was all your idea to begin with. Like, yeah, it's such a weird way to have to look at a movie, because we've never really done something like this before. You know, there's always been remakes, you know, so someone has made an updated version of a movie, but no one's ever really like taken the actual footage. Like they reshoot a movie, they remake a movie, you know, we retell Superman's origin, you get a new cast, you get a new everything. This is the first time I think we've ever seen a movie like this where like, no, I'm gonna take all of the original stuff, I'm gonna shoot $70 million worth of new shit, and then we're gonna go in. Like, and not to mention, one of the downfalls of the WB and all these DC movies was their shit CGI. Like, they totally fixed that. You know, like they totally revamped Steppenwolf's suit. Like, he was out of the suit most of the movie in the Justice League. He was in this shiny fucking battle armor the entire movie on this one. So they were able to make him a little brighter. They were able to, you know, it was an okay movie. I didn't hate it, but I just cannot be grateful or excited about it given all these facts that who couldn't make that movie better given four or 5 years of fan surveys, you know, through Twitter and extra, you know, a $70 million film budget is double of some of these independent films and half of some of these major blockbusters. Like, you gave him $70 million to make it better too.
Yeah. I still, like I said, I found it entertaining. I like the movie. It is an improvement. It does a better job. It's, you know, it gets rid of like some of the things that I did truly hate, even just like stylistically from Joss Whedon. Like, it got rid of like the red filter on the fight, on the final battle scenes. And it got rid of like, it just, it does work a lot better. And like we talked about last week, best case scenario was this was a good movie. DC fans can be happy about it. And then also super salty about the fact that none of it matters.
None of it matters.
Like, we got a 30-minute epilogue that is really just Zack Snyder just kicking every DC fan in the dink. Because it's like, yeah, this is what it could have been, guys. Watch this. Hey, here's our Easter egg to Adam. Here's our Easter egg to all kinds of other things. Oh, look at the three or the two other Justice League movies that I had planned and the spinoffs that I had planned for all these other things that DC just decided to scrap and kill my entire plan. And it's like,
oh, this is going to start a whole nother hashtag movement. Like, I'm surprised already hashtag make the sequels isn't trending right now.
Snyder sequel, Snyder sequels. Like, I don't know why. It's such a laughable thing. Like that whole epilogue,
to me,
that was 30 minutes that could have been cut.
To me, like,
it's pointless.
Did he really have these plans? Like, I'm skeptical about everything. I am so skeptical about everything that is involved with this.
I think a lot of it was pretty well known. That's not, Snyder's talked about in the, like, even years ago, he talked about having greater plans for things. It was always known that Justice League was supposed to be a series of three movies.
Not
just the one.
From what I remember about those talks, like, Darkseid was going to be in this movie to set him up as the villain of the second. But now Darkseid was the pretty much villain of this movie. You know, like, him and Steppenwolf were, like, kind of shared main villain.
Yes and no, but he was more like the Thanos villain, right? He probably got more lines than was intended, but he was the overarching villain. And, you know, this is, like, Darkseid, you know, at the end of this movie is pretty much having, like, his Thanos moment of where Thanos says, like, well, I'm going to have to do it myself and then go to the world.
So, like, in the scene where it's back in the day and Zeus is fighting and all the humans and Atlanteans are all fighting together.
You don't think together. You get that?
Is it Steppenwolf or Darkseid in the original? Who is it? Because in the original Justice League, it's Steppenwolf that gets sent back. And, you know, was that going to be always the original? And that's why Steppenwolf had that shame with Darkseid? Or was it always going to be Darkseid? Like, I don't know this. And I know what Snyder would say, but I wouldn't believe you. Like, I don't know if you're telling me the truth.
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is they definitely make everyone feel bad for Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
Poor Steppenwolf. Yeah.
You know, I hope that DC fans are at least a little happy. Don't sit here and try to shove down my throat that it's a good movie. Like, it was an okay movie. To make an okay movie out of that turd, given the amount of time and money that they gave you to make it better, to me, it should have been better than an okay movie. Like,
yeah,
you give me a redo on a bunch of parts of my life, I kill it. you give me a chance at that seventh grade talent show again, I'm fucking kill it.
Yeah. And I still think that WB not letting Snyder have his way, it still kind of sometimes makes sense. Like, I don't know, in the first couple of minutes, me and wife had to pause it when Wonder Woman just kills everybody, right? It just cold-blooded murders everybody. She doesn't need to, you know what I mean? Like, she literally takes her time to let dude reload so she can disintegrate him.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is...
Like, oh, I can't do it now. He's unarmed. Oh, he reloaded. Like,
you know what I mean? Like, there is some of it that, like, I get it. I was always okay with DC just being the more mature side than Marvel. Like, there's a niche for that. Like, there's plenty of adults who want to see, more raw fight scenes, more whatever else. But to some degree, like, you also can't go...
Out of character. Like...
You can't drastically change...
Superman kills Zod. Superman don't kill nobody. Like, Batman don't kill nobody. Like they get violent and they get savage. But they don't kill nobody.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. There's things in there that, like, watching it, as again, like that first opening scene with Wonder Woman where I had to be like, this can't be the DC direction. Like, they can't do that. They can't make, it'd be
I was thinking about that too when I watched Falcon and Winter Soldier the other
night. Just knocking down a helicopter.
Just knocking down helicopters full of like six people. And we're porting like Peter Pan to the adult side from Disney with all these disclaimers, and we're just gonna ignore the fact that like he killed like a dozen people right in the beginning of the goddamn show.
I had the exact same thoughts about that. Like, I know Marvel didn't show the people dying, yeah, but I have
a brain. Like,
seriously, your dude just killed a lot of people.
I don't know how much more detail we need to go in onto this thing. There's still some other issues that probably aren't fresh in my head, and I sure as fuck ain't watching it again.
Really? So apparently in a couple weeks they're coming out with a black and white version of it. Another director's cut of the Snyder cut, which has additional Jared Leto Joker scenes, and it's like black and white, full 4-hour movie again, but with new deleted scenes that they're supposed to release in a couple weeks. And you have been the champion of Jared Leto Joker, so like I think you have to watch
I liked him in this. I did, like, I liked that whole scene. Like,
was this even the same Jared Leto Joker?
No, like,
you know what I mean? It's not even the same Jared Leto Joker, to me
that vindicates my opinion on Jared Leto Joker. Like,
oh, that he could have been good.
He could have been
the use of
great
him.
He could have been fucking great.
I agree. Jared Leto is a solid actor who could have done a good job in that role. It's not necessarily Jared Leto.
Do you think Jared Leto made the wardrobe choice for fucking Suicide Squad? Like, no, he didn't. Yeah. Okay, folks.
I don't think he went to the costume department and said, like, no, let's tattoo every inch of my face. Let's do these weird things and let's go ahead.
That whole back and forth with Batman out, where he talks about killing this person, and then Batman talks about killing Harley Quinn and his reaction and everything. That was fucking great, man. Yeah. No, that was fucking great. Like, there were some scenes that were just like really good in the movie that made it that, like, if you had to cut an hour and a half of it, I hope to God you kept this one. You know, like, and there was a lot of like out of context, you know, so like Superman puts on the black suit. They don't really say why, and you just kind of have to guess why. Like, comic book fans know why, but everyone might think, you know, a lot of people would think, oh, it's because he came back from the dead. It's like, no, that's his like recharge suit. He goes up by the sun. Black absorbs the sun. He gets more power. He gets stronger. He gets healthier. Like, that's his like recharge suit. So a lot of people just be like, it's his morning. He came back from the dead, so he wears a black suit. Like, no, wrong. You know, so they leave you to figure that out on your own. All I'll say is that
and they once again show why Superman is just OP as hell, yeah, and he doesn't need anybody else ever.
Like, why are you helping this dude? Like, go find, there's other crime going on while you're fighting Darkseid. Go fix that. Like, just let this dude be. But I will say that if they went and retconned The Last Jedi and made it from what it is to Snyder Cut equality of Justice League, I'd be happy as fuck. If you take that turd and just bring it into mediocrity like they did this, I would be ecstatic. You know, so if you're a DC fan and you're really happy with the Zack Snyder cut, I'm not trying to take that from you, bro. I'm really not. Like, I'm going to be honest, though. I'm going to say, like, it's an okay movie. Like, what you love about it, I probably liked about it, too. But I didn't like that stuff enough to ignore the fact that he had the biggest lob ball in baseball history, and he couldn't hit a home run out of the park with it still. Like, I will not ignore that fact. But I'm happy you guys got a better movie. I hope you fucking take it as a win. Because right now, if they did the same thing and just shit on Rian Johnson's face and redid fucking The Last Jedi, I'd go watch 4 hours of that motherfucker and walk out and click my fucking heels.
Yep. And I stick by the fact that I like the movie, but I just still find it completely unfair. Don't in any way say that this vindicates that Joss Whedon's who screwed this up. Yes, Joss Whedon screwed it up. But Snyder clearly screwed up his own vision and didn't fit it into the right framework and didn't fit it into the right timeline. So when Joss Whedon took it over, he had no choice but to cut a ton out of it and to make it almost a completely different movie with what he was given.
Yeah, don't give me this bullshit. This is what the movie always was supposed to be. Like, no, this is kind of the movie you always wanted and nothing like what the movie would have had to have been.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we talked about
this. I think
we're good. Enough for today. You know, we briefly talk about, hey, you know, Falcon, Winter Soldier, it happened.
I'm down.
It's good. I'm good. Yeah, let's see where
it goes. I think it's taking the Wanda same pace. You know, it wasn't much first episode, but you got enough.
No, but I'm always like, this is why I like the fact that they're doing this, is take the characters that we know, that we've already been provided some backstory, and do a deeper kind of character study into them. And that's what we get, right? We get some time with his sister. We find out about his backstory. We're also seeing the struggles that, you know, that Bucky's going through. I'm good with it. Like, take your time.
I did think of like, all right, spoiler, but by the time this airs, then you should have watched it. If you haven't, I don't fucking feel bad. But when the goofy white dude comes out as Captain America at the end, fucking Sam Wilson's face, his face is like the 2020 mood. disappointed black man had rudy ass white dude taking Captain America. Like, I was like, that's a 2020 mood if I ever seen one. I was like, bro, that, it's your own fault. You should never gave him back to S.H.I.E.L.D., bro. You should have just took it. Yeah, you should have just took it. Because now look what you did. Look what you did. And you knew they were going to do it. You knew they were going to do it.
Would you really think they were going to keep that vibranium shield in a museum? Get out of here. No, it's definitely worth watching. Looking forward to how that season is going to play out. But all right, more entertainment news. Let's roll through some others. You know, we got the Oscars list.
Do you really give a fuck? Because I really don't give a fuck.
I know last year we did the dedicated show.
Because there were so many good movies that year.
I know. And, we did the dedicated show last year with Sean from Wolf and Me. And, man, I don't think I have it in me to watch and try to catch up to all these movies that it's like, yeah, I know. I should watch some of them. But I just am not interested.
Well,
in almost any of them.
Well, I'd say out of the best picture in 2019, I had already saw half the list voluntarily to write reviews on them. Like, they were movies that appealed to the mass audience. Now, I may have seen some of these if theaters were open and whatnot, but for the most part, I can't care about a lot of this shit. One, because I couldn't see him in the theater. Two, because this is just such a watered down year of Oscars. Like, think of all the movies that got delayed and those don't get to be part of anything. Like, and I get it, most of the movies that delayed wouldn't make the Oscar list anyways. Like, but certain categories like special effects and maybe supporting acting and things like that. Yeah, you had a lot of big blockbusters delayed an entire fucking year that aren't going to make this list.
Yeah, I said, going down the list, since the big ones like Mank, I don't want to watch a 3-hour black and white movie on what is it, on George Orwell, or
I think so,
or I can't even remember.
I'm surprised you don't want to watch Nomadland with your RV driving ass.
So that's one of the ones that I might watch someday. I don't know. I might watch that one. I've actually also never seen the Chicago 7, the Trial of Chicago 7. I've heard good things about that. I would watch that, but I'm not rushing out to watch it. I don't know. Sound of Metal, meh. The rest of them, I don't know. There's nothing on this
list. I'll probably watch half of them. And, Sean wants to do it again. Sean, we had a great episode that year, and
it was
fun.
It was a good
and
time.
I think we might do it just to keep up the tradition, even though this year sucks, because next year will be better, and we'll want to do it again next year. And I don't want to do no biannual, so we might as well just keep it annual.
Yeah, and I will probably watch three of these movies, and I'll just moderate it and just be the uneducated person just saying, "Ooh, tell me more. And why do you think that?"
And he'll probably watch them all, and there's a few of them I'll just be like, "Well, I'll just have to take your word for it, Sean." So, yeah.
But don't worry. I got the animated movies.
I could The list is in the show notes. If you want to go over the list and see some of the movies that you can watch, like I said, we'll still probably do our Oscar wrap-up episode, and you can follow along. And a lot of times people do Oscar pools and shit. Like, how do you, like,
Yeah.
This is just such a drag year for movies. I am super pumped, though. I got my Congress Godzilla tickets. Like, I am super pumped to go see that movie. AMC's coming back. They're opening all theaters, I think, this week. Every theater back open this week.
All right. And then, outside of the big screen or TV screens, we can talk real fast about in the comic book world. DC, it seems that they're raising their prices again. I don't know if this affects, who's still out there buying, you know, the monthly comics of Batman or whatever else, but prices are going up.
I just walked out of the comic book store on Wednesday.
Are you buying DC comics though?
I did buy Mark Brooks's variant edition of Joker number one. So yes.
Okay. All right.
So that would be a yes.
So yeah, it's, in the end, you know, they're looking at almost like $6 each, $5.99 for a 40-page type comic, like what you're seeing with Batman and Superman's. So, I mean, they're not cheap, but I don't know what is, I guess, at this point in time. I think that's fairly reasonable. What's Marvel these days?
About
what you expect to spend, $5, $6?
$5.99 would be fair. $5.99 would be fair. They had the major diamond distributors, like publishing companies aren't making the profits they used to. The sales aren't what they used to. I understand this. Like, it's economics, folks. Like, you can't be too upset. Like, it's just the economics of things. And a lot of people buy these comics as investments for resale value. Just up the resale value. Like, or buy the NFT version. Comics is NFTs. I didn't even think about that either.
I mean, it's
going to
happen.
It's going to.
Yeah. All right. And then let's talk a little bit of video game news, just in the fact that PlayStation has bought out the Evo fighting game competition or fighting game championship series. And, you know, it's the largest esports or fighting game competition that exists. And now PlayStation owns it, which... Nintendo's come out and said that they've enjoyed being a part of Evo in the past, and they're looking at what their options are. So PlayStation said that they're not going to make it necessarily exclusive to PlayStation, although, you know, the vast majority of the games are games that can be played on PlayStation. So I imagine, like, it's going to be PlayStation for the Mortal Kombat, for the Tekken, the other fighting games that are pretty well known. But Super Smash Brothers? Probably out. Nintendo said they're looking at their other opportunities for future online and offline Smash Brothers tournament activity. So they're not looking at Evo, it seems, anymore.
You know, everyone's going to be picking sides in this kind of stuff. You know, it's only a matter of time before everybody just kind of like stakes out their corner in this. PlayStation's doing it, Xbox does it. And Nintendo's got their, you know, Smash Brothers is huge in this kind of community. So why would they let their major competitor make money off of this? Like,
yeah, like what, you wouldn't want your Super Smash Brothers championship team or championship person holding up a PlayStation trophy. You know what I mean? I don't blame them for walking away at this point in time. It's interesting. I wonder if PlayStation got it for cheap because Evo didn't happen last year. I think we talked about it here on the show last year, that the organizer of it was under some significant abuse allegations and they canceled the event because of him. All the sponsors pulled out and everything else. So they're looking at making Evo continue, be a virtual this year, eventually in person.
Every week we're gonna have the 1 year anniversary of suck. Like for the next fucking like three months, every 1 year anniversary story of anything is gonna be like, hey, you remember the suck of March of in April of fucking 2020?
Yeah. Not even COVID related. Just a dude getting accused of all kinds of abuse allegations and his whole tournament getting shut down because of it. Either way, yeah, I'm curious if we're going to see Xboxy, Nintendo start creating their own esports tournaments, esports leagues. It's big money. I would not be surprised. I'm actually kind of surprised that it isn't already there.
Yeah.
And then more in video game, just the co-founder of Neuralink, Neuralink being the brain chip, whatever else.
Brain
computer interface system pushed by Elon, one of his many companies here. The co-founder has come out and said that we're going to need a better term than video games in the future, talking about how Neuralink is going to drastically change it, the better rendering of the visual side of it, but also the potential incorporation of other aspects, sensory aspects from Neuralink. It means that video game is going to be an inadequate term.
There's some dude with a really shitty mustache involved in pornography that's just going, yes. Like, if you're this excited about video games, there's going to be a lot of dudes that never leave the house for anything. Buy stock in DoorDash, even after COVID. Like, these, you're going to have an entire generation of men that don't go anywhere for anything.
We going full Demolition Man here?
For sure. For sure. Like, it's just to hear him say this, like you can't even call it's so good and so real that you can't even call it a video game anymore. Like, I don't know, man. It's, I don't even want to think about the possibilities, like, because, like, I need a demo. Like, give me a demo.
Give me a demo
before my mind runs off into the wilderness.
I think this is a co-founder hyping up his own thing well beyond the capabilities and even the near-term capabilities of this.
Yeah, I did watch a Stadia press release and got kind of excited. So let's not jump the gun too much here.
Yeah, I think maybe speaking a little out of turn here, but that's all right. It will be interesting, the future of kind of video games and stuff, if you can realistically kind of replicate certain sensory aspects of video games. We know the visual side of video games are getting ridiculous. You know, they're near camera quality in some of these aspects. So,
man, like, it's to the point where video game awards need to either be brought up better into respect and like, I just got done playing God of War 4 on the PS5 with the updated 4K version and everything. Like, that was one of the most moving stories and, like, exciting games to play that I've ever played in my entire life. I put it number two behind A Link to the Past. A Link to the Past will always be my number one video game for the rest of my life, just for what it did to me as a child for RPGs and video games. It just, that game changed my life and brought my love of video games into the world, you know, like before.
I'm actually playing it on the Switch right now. Like, I'm literally in the middle of a Link to the Past replay right now.
You know, so that game will always be number one to me. God of War, like, bro, after beating 1, 2, and 3, because I played 1, 2, and 3 before I started 4, because I wanted a refresh on the storyline. I don't think I ever beat 3. So I played through them all again. And to be that deep into, like, the main character storyline and then just have the game switch styles, switch gameplay, switch, you know, backdrops and everything, and tell this story that brings you even more attached to the main character and is that moving, like, fuck a Mank. Like, give me just jam every God of War cutscene into one fucking movie, put it up on there, and fuck these awards. Like, some of these games are more moving than half these fucking films that get put out, and they get none of this recognition. Like, and now once we get into the point where they're in your head, like, if you like tell a story that good on Neuralink, like, how do I know that it wasn't real life? How do I know this didn't just really happen to me?
Yeah. I don't know. Let's see. I think that's decades away, I think. So
we'll see, man. We will see.
All right. But let's move. Yeah. I guess that's kind of tech. That's our transition into tech here, as we can go deeper into some tech topics for the rest of the show. And we'll start with another Elon company here. We go Tesla, and apparently Tesla is firing some of its full self-driving beta testers. We talked about last week about them expanding it to a great deal. And now we find out, and Elon confirms via tweet that, yep, they're absolutely firing full self-drive beta testers through cameras that they have inside the vehicle and determining if people are just letting Tesla take the wheel here and they're not in any way paying attention, then they have their privileges revoked.
So from a Tesla standpoint, I understand this. From a customer standpoint, I say bullshit. Like, So because they're beta testing, I'm assuming they have to have like meet certain criteria. And in order to submit these test results and validate them, you still need your hands on the wheel, or you still need to be paying attention. Like, we have certain criteria in order to submit this to our, you know, whoever in the government oversees this stuff to give them regulations to be on the road. So because of that reason, they have to do this. I don't think Elon really cares. I think it's more of a like hoops to jump through to get this shit approved. As a customer standpoint, why do I want an automatic driving car if I can't sit on my phone or laptop and do other shit while my car is driving? Isn't this the whole fucking point of automated driving? I don't want the car to drive itself so I could sit there and watch the car drive itself. I want the car to drive itself so I could sit there and be more productive in my life while I'm in this car.
Yeah, it just comes down to, if you are a beta tester, then you are accepting the fact that this is not a finished product and you are here to provide feedback to the company. So not putting yourself in a position to help the company by protecting it from maybe some errors that are still in the system. I've been seeing some videos coming up of like really bad, like left-hand turns that the Teslas are making. And people, you know, there was one that showed like somebody was piloting a drone over their Tesla, watching it in full self-drive. And like some of the turns, it would either not execute because it would never clear the traffic or never take the drive across the traffic. And some of them were just terrible. So it still is in beta mode. It has a lot of room to improve. It's gathering data. And if you are, if you're a beta tester and you just thought that this was your time to play on your phone or whatever else, well, you probably didn't read the terms of the beta test.
And I think we skipped one detail. So the reason why they know all this is going on is because there's a driver-facing camera in your Tesla, which is also a little creepy.
It is a little creepy because Tesla has access to everything in those cars.
Oh, for sure.
So, which, reading an article about it, I also learned that it's not just Tesla. Even like GM cars, the newer versions.
Yeah,
they have eye tracking and AI facial recognition and tracking for, apparently it's called Super Cruise, like cruise control highway that keeps you in the lanes and can do whatever else. They even have it, the same feature or whatever else, where they're doing eye tracking and facial recognition tracking, and it'll cancel your cruise control.
So I got a relatable story. So I had a dance competition for my daughter in Iowa this week, and I have a beat.
Already not relatable.
It's 100% relatable. Just give me a minute, dickhead. Wasn't going to drive my work van. My other car is a beater car, you know, so I'm not driving either one of them to Iowa. So I rented a car, and I had a bunch of Chase points on my credit card. So I rented a car and I got the premium car. Like, fuck it, I'm going to drive a nice car. So I get there and I pick up a BMW 3 Series. So I'm like, all right, yeah, fuck it, I'm driving Iowa in a Beamer. So I'm driving on the highway, and every time I go to change the lane, I get halfway through the lane and the car throws me back in the lane I'm trying to leave. Car fucking throws me back in the goddamn lane. And I'm going, what the fuck is this? You know, it's because, like a dickhead, if there's nobody on the road to Iowa, there's no cars around me, am I signaling to change this lane? No, I don't. If you don't turn on the signal, the car thinks you're asleep and throws you back into the fucking lane. You know, so for the first hour I'm driving, I'm trying to change lanes, and the car is just jerking me back into the fucking lane. And I'm just going, what the fuck is going on? And yeah, I had to Google it, and it's like, oh yeah, if you don't signal, one, you're a dickhead. And two,
you're a Chicago driver.
We're not going to let you change lanes because we think you just fell asleep and you're about to drive off the road. So, these systems are so much a part of our cars already. You know, we're just taking the next progressions as we go. And as far as like the shitty left turns and everything, I really think that as a society, we should be pitching our government to, when you build new roads, let's put things in our roads that benefit these sensors and benefit our automated driving cars that we're moving towards. You know, where we redo sections of our roads every summer and every year. Well, I mean, you're out in California. I'm sure they do it year round out there. Out here, it's pretty much the summer. Let's put lines to guide left turns, because a lot out here, it's very rare that you actually have, you know, yellow lines that do that left hook to keep you in that arc. You know what I mean? So let's put things on our road that are going to help these sensors and make automated driving progress faster. Like, if this is the point we want to get to as a society, let's start being proactive in it. Let's not just let these eggheads try to figure out how to start a system in our current infrastructure. Let's start building infrastructure to benefit where we want to be in the future.
I mean, it would make sense, but that is not good. There's no governmental faith that I have that anybody's going to put money or effort into this. So, you know, either in the end, you know, all these companies are just going to figure out a way to have their optical sensors that much better, their LiDAR that much better, in order to overcome bad roads, poorly painted lines.
This is where my frustration with government ends up coming up, because I'm not going to try to start a bunch of shit on the show right now, but we are so concerned in our government with things that 0.0001% of the population are affected by, but we have futuristic things that are going to affect 98% of the goddamn population that we won't address. Like, this is where my frustration with the government comes in, and I'm gonna leave it there.
All right. Well, keeping on Tesla and government, we've got the Chinese ban. All government officials and military are banned from using and purchasing Tesla cars, even though they're building them there now. Right? Yeah. They have the Chinese.
And we trust them not to put some Huawei trackable shit in the car that Elon don't even know about.
So, and Elon's come out since and said that, like, if we're not gathering any data or tracking anybody anywhere, and if we were, like, our company would be over. Like, this is not a thing that we're doing. But it didn't change the fact that the Chinese government has banned it for all officials.
Well, the Chinese government said the same thing about Huawei, and we still ban Huawei. So I can't be mad at them about this.
No, I think I'm actually not mad at them. I think it's an interesting move from their standpoint, especially because, like I said, some of these Tesla cars are built in China, and you know, we don't have the same history that we're telling Tesla they owe us all this data.
Honestly, they want to play this game. I'm all for it, because if you want to start restricting American products being used in your company or in your country, fine, pull the factory. There's other tech savvy, you know, cheap companies to build this labor in. We can move it. We can move it back to America and just charge a little bit more for these cars. And if we just increase our firewalls to protect our intellectual property in this country so China just can't steal it, fuck you. You innovate something, assholes. Like, make all the shit we think of. Like, I'll give you that credit. But I don't see y'all thinking of anything changing the fucking world. When was the last time something came out of China that revolutionized, you know, the free market and everybody wanted to fucking buy? Other than the Huawei phone and 5G, that's what y'all got. Y'all got 5G. And we're right behind you, and a couple solar panels. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Other than that, we innovate everything fucking here. So if you want to start restricting products that you can use in your country, fuck it, man. Ban everything coming out of China here. Make it in India. Make it in some, like, train Americans to fucking make this shit. I don't give a fuck. But if this is the Cold War y'all want to have, fuck it. I'm for it. Let's do this. Because we're going to be all right.
Indian. I don't think it's that big of a deal, in the sense that Tesla still is selling a decent amount of cars there, but they have their own SAIC motor is China's largest automaker, and guess what they announced they're doing automated driving systems.
How funny would it be if the Chinese version of the electric automated car was called like Alset? they just reverse everything. These motherfuckers. No, go ahead, man. Do you, because we're going to do us. And if you want to do what's economically best for your country, we're going to do what's economically best for us. But let's not be dumb and act like they just won't say, fuck it, we'll steal it.
Yeah. I think they've got a pretty good track record of that. All right. Let's
you know
let's,
how I feel about that. I've gone on record as my position with Chinese intellectual theft.
let's move to, we've got another topic here with regards to an old story, you know, going back to last year. We've got the Twitter hacker, and quick reminder, you know, somebody hacked a bunch of Twitter accounts, posted the same message on all of them about a Bitcoin giveaway that if you
hacked Obama. You hacked Obama, bro.
And if you deposited Bitcoin, that you'd get a return. And I mean, in the end, he didn't fool that many people, but he still got himself $120,000 through this hack. And it turned out to be a 17-year-old kid who has been now kind of charged and officially is getting sentenced to 3 years in jail, which I think, like, you're lucky. Like,
yeah, that's
a hell of a deal.
I think it's fair. You know, dude's going the way of Zero Cool. There's probably also verbiage in there. He can't ever touch a computer again. Dude's going the way of Zero Cool, man. He tried to hack the planet, and you know, planet hacked him. Sorry about it.
But yeah, I think this. He was ultimately charged with 30 different felony counts.
Bro, there's people that grew 10 marijuana plants that are doing 50 years in a federal prison.
Doing way
you
more
are
than
lucky
3 years.
Than a motherfucker, okay? Let's put it like that. You are lucky than a motherfucker. You take your 3 years, you lift some weights, you get big, you protect that booty hole, and you come home and find a fucking good job, because there are people right now that did way less than you, that affected way, way less people, that did, in current standards, legal shit, that are doing life sentences 25 to 50. Like,
I mean,
take
dude
you three,
is still
bro.
Going to get, he's still going to get out of jail, not legally able to buy a drink, right? Like, yeah. He's still going to get out of jail before he's 21. So ultimately, he's going to be fine. And he is incredibly lucky. The deal he was given, still being kind of charged as like a youthful offender or a minor. I'm just curious, where does 120 grand go? Where'd all that Bitcoin go?
Oh, governments.
Government
yeah,
pockets.
Government pockets. Somebody had a pizza party. Somebody had a pizza party. Because one, it was in Bitcoin, and this story was a while ago. So 120 grand's probably worth like 270 right now.
A little bit more,
you know. So the government cash out? Like, are they just letting that Bitcoin ride the wave to the moon, and then they're going to cash out and pay some judicial branch's budget?
Yeah. I'm really actually curious on when that. Yeah. So that hack happened in July of last year.
Bitcoin was like at 17K. Oh, he's Googling it, folks. He's Googling it. Bitcoin was like at 17,000. Like, they got it. They got a quadruple in return, three times investment.
So the high of Bitcoin in the month of July 2020 was $11,000.
Oh shit! So they got five times return. That shit's worth 700 grand right now. 600 grand.
Yeah. All right. Well,
you know, nobody in the government smart enough to hold that shit. They sold that. They got 120 G's.
No, and it also wounds me a little bit to look at it and
to know that if we took our first stimulus, to know that if we took our first stimulus and put it in Bitcoin, how much more it'd be worth right now?
Not even just that, like just regular investing money. We literally do a tech nerd podcast, and I'm still late to the game on crypto.
But we got NFTs, folks. I got an NFT. I'm not right. Fool me once. Not making right, the same mistake.
I'm depressed. Let's move on to the end here. All right. So
this one's great.
This one's fucking great. Next one. So we love talking about deepfakes. And there's an article that came out. It was a female motorcycle rider who didn't have a huge following, but a pretty good following of like 20,000 people on Twitter, a bunch of likes, whatever else. And it's this cute little young Asian woman riding motorcycles, doing cool stuff.
Only to find out
that it's some old 50-year-old dude with long hair who realized that nobody was paying attention to his Twitter channel and thought, hey, what if I deepfaked myself? Could I get more followers? And the answer is yes.
The answer is 100% yes.
The answer is yes. So, like, even the interview with the guy, he talks about the fact that, yeah, he just started just kind of toying around with the idea and playing with the face app and making like a deep fake. He started playing with the characteristics and it got to a point where he even thought like, oh, wow, I've made a pretty cute girl.
So that was what I wasn't sure of is like, did he take a picture of a random Asian girl or did he do like a random face generator? Like is some Asian chick right now got a really good lawsuit against this dude?
No. So the way he says that he generated this and like tweaked and messed with the characteristics or whatever else. And then got to a point where he was impressed by his own, by his own likeness at this point in time and thought, oh, wow. Yeah. It turns out that I'm pretty. His actual quote is, first I just tried, then it happened to turn out to be fairly pretty. and then he put that I get 1,000 times more likes now. And it used to be below 10 likes per post before.
And like, it just shows you like, where our society is and what we focus on. So the tricks are the same, right? Like if you like motorcycle tricks, does it really matter who the driver is? Like if you just like to watch cool motorcycle tricks, should it really matter who the driver is? Well, I guess it does. I guess it does. So if you're a 50-year-old long-haired dude doing motorcycle tricks, no one's going to give a shit about you. But if you're a young Asian woman doing the exact same motorcycle trick 100 times in you know, 100x fold the interest. Like
this is the world, right?
This is the world we live in.
It's every dude cosplayer who's building these massive elaborate robotic suits.
And some chick lets an ass cheek hang out for a cami costume and she wins the contest. This dude spent 5 years building a fucking mech. He's on like 4-inch, 4-foot fucking stilts, painter stilts, walking around in his giant Optimus Prime costume. And then some chick with buns in her hair, with her ass hanging out, dresses Chun-Li, wins the whole fucking thing.
This is the world we live in. So all I know is, you know, maybe those Instagram follows that you're given and the Twitter accounts, maybe it's just some deepfake dude who's capitalizing on the market.
Fap at your own risk, folks. Oh my God. Like this is crazy. And this is just the beginning, man. This is just the beginning. Like the world will be catfish crazy. Catfish fucking crazy. Started out with cute usernames on AOL. Now we got deepfake motorcycle riders. Like you are not safe, man. You are not safe.
All right. Well, let's quickly get through the last two topics here. First one, we've got some robots, and this is a 5G-powered robotic arm that actually tattooed an actress. I wonder how much T-Mobile paid. This is T-Mobile demonstrating the speed of their 5G network, and they used a robotic arm controlled by an actual tattoo artist somewhere else who uses robotic arm from a distance to tattoo the arm of this actress. And I had to go like watch the video to see what the tattoo was. It's like 4 straight lines. It's not like they're doing any shading or coloring here. It's still an interesting concept. You know, this is one of the things that like 5G has been promising, right? That like remote surgeries.
Remote surgeries and shit.
The best surgeon doesn't need to fly in to do the surgery. That best surgeon can use 5G, which it should once you get to like true 5G. We're still not even at like true 5G capability, not even close. And if we get to it, the latency is so low that you can, in real time, conduct a surgery or something, controlling, you know, a lot of surgeries are already done remote through robotic type systems. So there's no reason why you can't do that from anywhere in the world other than the latency problem that you know, that split second difference from you visually seeing it and it actually happening is too great for realistic surgery.
So you went down the 5G rabbit hole when you read the story. I went down the rabbit hole of, one day I'm gonna be able to walk into a phone booth mall kiosk and get my back tattoo done. Cause you know, with this technology, eventually they just eliminate the tattoo artist. Like, you just upload a JPEG and sit in this fucking booth and you're gonna get the best tattoo you ever had in your life. Cause it's gonna be, you know, whatever the equivalent of 3D printed on, you know, on your body, you know. So we're gonna take tattoo shops, eliminate them, and just have mall kiosks, insert arm here, upload JPEG, tattoo's done in a few hours, and it's the best quality tattoo, lines are perfect, everything's fucking perfect. Like, that's where my mind went to, as a man with like 35 tattoos. I was like, oh shit, like, price of tattoos just drastically dropped.
Yeah, no, I think that is eventually in our future. And if these robotic arms can be controlled by people, then there's no reason why.
Why do I need a dude to fuck it up?
It, like, can't just replicate
why
it.
Why not eliminate the shittiest part of this robot, which is the dude controlling it? Like,
yeah, absolutely. No, I thought when I first saw the headline, that's actually what I thought this was. Not that it was remote, not that it was remote controlled, but that it was an AI level tattoo arm. Then when I read the story, I thought, okay, I get it. It's 5G powered. It's really a demonstration of 5G technology, and like, I'm all for it. I think we did a deep dive in 5G a long time ago, and still waiting for it to happen. Still waiting for all the things we talked about to happen with 5G. Not even close.
Not even close.
But all right, last story here. Just real quick, this is just interesting. Not much on it, other than the fact that apparently there was three strains of unique bacteria not seen on Earth, not known to humans, found on the in like various parts of the International Space Station.
So can we at least now at this point say, like, we officially have aliens?
So I don't know whether they're claiming this as
it originated in outer space.
That it didn't.
It's not life on Earth.
In outer space, I don't know.
Aliens. Like, that's all I know. That's what I took away from this. You found life that doesn't exist on Earth in outer space. Aliens.
If we bring it back to Earth, let's call it an alien. What I haven't figured out is,
so they got to land to be an alien? So if you saw a UFO in outer space and it pulled up to the front door and it was like, nah, and drove away, we wouldn't say it's an alien?
Is it modified bacteria that we brought, that's just been like evolving in space from what we brought up there? Because it is very similar in bacteria. It's very similar in structure to bacteria.
Why does that matter? What if the same bacteria that started life on Earth, you know, so there's an asteroid back at the Big Bang, splits in half. The same bacteria is on that asteroid as the one here. We land, you know, we settle on Earth. We develop into humans. That bacteria develops somewhere else in the galaxy as something else, and they come here. Still the same bacteria, aliens.
Deal. All right, we'll just settle on it. let's bring it back to Earth, and then it's alien.
Fucking aliens, man. I just I want to get past the point where we're looking for them. We got them. We got three forms of bacteria. We got three aliens. It's not the ones you wanted. It's not the gray. It's not the grays that you wanted. But it's here. So let's get over it. Let's accept the fact alien life exists, and let's move forward.
All right. Well, that's Week in News, and I guess that's 2 years. 2 years is a wrap. 2 years of the podcast. Let's hopefully, if you're listening to us, whether it's the first time or you've listened a bunch of times, if you haven't taken a moment to give us a rating review, hey, throw us a 2 year bone here. we've been grinding out for 2 years here to get a rating review every once in a while. Let's go ahead and jump over to iTunes and do so.
Yeah, when you mentioned new listener, I just pictured that one dude listening for the first time and going, like, they've been doing this for 2 years?
you think they'd be better.
You think they'd get their shit together by now. Oh, man. But it's been fun. Yeah. Go to Patreon. Give me a dollar. No, it's been a fun 2 years. Like, I enjoy this, and we're going to keep going. So you're stuck with us.
All right. But with all that said, join us over at the community, nerdcantina.com/community, over at Facebook, and join in some conversations.
Oh, before we go, do not forget to vote for the March Madness Take a Knee versus, for Marvel versus DC. We still have
We still got three going.
We still got three going, folks. We got three going. All
right. Three in the eight, right? Are we in the eight?
They're taking Sweet 16 voting, and I think we're making it through with at least two of them. So yeah. Ellen Ripley, Vegeta, Dean Winchester, vote that shit. All right, folks. I don't care what you think of these people. Just vote for them anyways. Superman's still in his motherfucker, and John Wick are still in his motherfucker. They need to die. Like, I think John Wick had his time in the sun. It's time to let him move on. He's not the only badass in moviedom. All right. Don't forget where the origins came from. Give me a vote for Ellen Ripley. All right.
All right. All right. Now all that's been said. Let's get out of here. we'll talk to you next week, nerds.
See ya.